The Watson Weekly podcast is sponsored by Avalara. As a trusted Shopify tax platform partner, Avalara automates U.S. and global tax from real-time calculation to streamlined tax returns, all with one solution. Go to avalara.watsonweekly.com for more details. Also, we're sponsored by Miracle. You don't need another tool. You need a growth partner. The Miracle platform is powering the next era of retail for brands and retailers who are ready to move. Powered by AI and built for what's next. It's March 29th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, is Shopify just future agentic middleware? The Stripe 2025 annual letter. What Amazon did not add to the OpenAI deal. And the logistics roll-up between Thoma Bravo's Octane and WWEX. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, is Shopify just future agentic middleware? Shopify spent the last week doing investor events, Harley and their CFO front and center, and the topic was agentic commerce. Their core argument? Commerce is complicated. A checkout isn't just a payment. There's business logic, inventory, tax, fraud, fulfillment. It's a whole thing. The foil in this story is actually Stripe. Stripe wants to put payment capability on any agent and is essentially arguing agents can absorb all the complexity Shopify currently owns. If they're right, Shopify gets squeezed from below. So Shopify's counter move has been Universal Commerce Protocol, co-authored with Google, which keeps the merchant's checkout and business logic in the driver's seat, not the agent, not the payment rail, instead, the merchant. When investors pushed on vibe coding and the future of SaaS, Harley also said something worth writing down. No enterprise wants to vibe code a checkout. Funny thing is, I think that's exactly right. You can't vibe code a sales tax nexus across 47 states. You can't vibe inventory reconciliation across a number of warehouses. And you definitely can't vibe code Black Friday infrastructure. Shopify's moat was never the storefront. It's actually, and they describe it this way, trillions of data points and a checkout layer that converts. It's boring stuff. Secure transactions, compliance, reliability. That's where AI agents are still too creative for their own good. But the real question is, if you look out, expand 5 years from now, is that still the same? If LLMs get battle-tested at the same rate that they're getting smarter today, why does an agent need a Shopify? Why does there need to be a bridge? Shopify is, at its core, some of the world's more successful middleware, and it sits between the manufacturer and the consumer managing data and dollars. If the AI is smart enough, does the middleware survive? There are two scenarios worth thinking through. Scenario A is AI becomes your wallet. It holds the credential, settles directly with the brand, and cuts out that layer entirely. Scenario B, consumers might find that creepy, unusual, not worth their time, and instead the Shop Pay button wins on trust, not technology. My take, ultimately, I don't think the protocols themselves are gonna matter long term. UCP, ACP, JCP, blah, 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 whatever comes next. Those are transitional infrastructure. What matters most is who owns the trust relationship with the buyer. Shopify is making a big bet. They're not trying to be a website builder anymore. They're positioning themselves as the back office of record for the agentic web, the infrastructure layer that agents run on top of, not through. Whether that holds depends on one thing, whether trust is still worth something when the AI is doing the shopping for you. Next up is the Stripe annual letter. Stripe dropped their annual letter last week, and a few numbers stood out. $1.9 trillion in payment volume. And if you read between their lines, their vision is to own a lot more than that. I pulled out four things worth speaking about. First, the e-commerce growth number. Stripe claims e-commerce grew 30% over 3 years, while brick and mortar grew 5%. It sounds great, but 30% for whom exactly? The baseline most operators are working with is around 12%, and that's the case for Amazon, which is about half of North American e-commerce. Walmart is at 30%, but are they the benchmark for mature brands? And what year are we even indexing into? The number's real, but the framing seems to be doing a lot of work here. Second, they talked about the stablecoin summer. Stripe is leading harder into something called stablecoins, and they're calling it the stablecoin summer after the crypto winter. $400 billion in payment volume, 60% they say is B2B. But here's the reality. Most of that volume is crypto companies paying other cryptos. The average small business is not accepting USDC. Stripe bought Bridge and launched Tempo. Those are big bets, but they're building a solution for a problem that the general public doesn't know exists yet. And so I guess hope is a strategy at the moment. Third, Stripe talked about stopping advertising, instead optimize your auth rate. In generally the most self-serving piece of advice in the entire letter, Stripe tells CEOs to stop wasting money on advertising and fix their payment flows instead. And look, they're not wrong necessarily. Lower funnel optimization has better ROI than most brand spend. Fine. But they go further. They suggest actually throwing an internal award ceremony to celebrate payment improvements instead of winning Lions at Cannes. Your CFO will love it, but your CMO may be in the parking lot in tears. And fourth, they talk about five levels of agentic commerce. This is kind of the big one. Stripe lays out five levels where level one is eliminating web forms, and level five is stuff showing up at your door before you ask for it, anticipatory commerce, autonomous agents spending $400 on back-to-school clothes without a prompt at all. John Collison himself admits that they're currently fighting somewhere between level one and level two. The gap between where we are today and level four requires a level of trust and interoperability that flat out just don't exist yet. And level five, an AI that autonomously buys things you didn't ask for, is just a subscription you forgot to cancel with extra steps. That's not necessarily a consumer-friendly vision. That's a payments provider vision of the future. The Agentic Commerce Protocol is a play to own the toll booth for robot shoppers. That's smart positioning, but let's not dress it up as something that the consumer is necessarily asking for. Our third story, what Amazon did not add to the OpenAI deal. Amazon is putting $50 billion into OpenAI, $15 billion upfront, $35 billion with strings attached. And the AWS infrastructure deal attached to this is $100 billion. This is not a small bet. For the past few years, Microsoft was OpenAI's almost exclusive partner. As of February 2026, Sam Altman is clearly playing the field. And the way to understand any of these AI partnerships is simple. Follow the compute. By diversifying away from Azure and into Amazon's custom Trainium chips, OpenAI is buying redundancy and potentially driving down the cost of intelligence at scale. NVIDIA will still get theirs, they kind of always do, at least for the moment, but watch whether other hyperscalers start moving towards Amazon silicon. The hardware wars are now inside the partnership wars. What does Amazon get? Access to OpenAI's frontier capabilities to power their own customer-facing agents. Does that mean Alexa finally becomes useful? Maybe. More importantly, it protects Amazon's retail dominance against a rising wave of specialized AI competitors who are headed straight for them. Now, here's what's notably absent from this deal. There is still no Amazon inventory in OpenAI's global shopping catalog. Think about that. A $50 billion relationship and Amazon's product catalog isn't in the AI shopping layer? That tells you something about how these negotiations actually work. The era of the single-vendor AI stack is over. The infrastructure wars are just getting a lot more expensive. And the last thing to remember about Amazon is it's very hard to negotiate with them. They simply decide whether you can participate or not. And our last story, the Great Logistics Rollup. Toma Bravo's big bet on Octane and WWEX. Toma Bravo is acquiring WWEX Group from CVC and Providence, and they're not running it as a standalone freight brokerage. They're combining it with Octane, the company behind Stamps.com, ShipStation, and Metapack. And that's the move that's worth paying attention to. For a decade, the industry has treated shipping software and freight services as two separate budget lines. Toma Bravo maybe just decided the wall needs to come down. And here's the real problem they're solving. For most brands today, the friction isn't finding a carrier. It's the data gap between the checkout button and the truck that's on the road. Combine Octane's cloud automation with WWEX's $5 billion commercial engine, and you could have a closed-loop system where those two things finally speak with each other. And look what's happening around them. Shopify is trying to own the merchant. FedEx is repositioning around quality over scale. Same with UPS. Toma Bravo is taking a third path. Build the end-to-end stack. The intelligence layer is Octane, ShipStation, Metapack, the software that knows what's shipping and where. The physical layer is WWEX, Global Trans, Worldwide Express, the commercial relationships that actually move freight. When those two layers run on a unified data set, you stop being a shipping company and you might start anticipating demand. That's the difference between the e-commerce era and what comes next. But from a reality point of view, let me just say it, mergers at this scale are freaking hard. WWEX has 2,300 salespeople. Octane is a software-first company. These cultures don't naturally merge exactly. And private equity being private equity, there is a real scenario where they leave both of these entities well enough alone, ignore the synergies, and just harvest the cash flows. But if they do actually execute, this isn't just a new logistics player, it's actually a data as a service provider wearing a 3PL's clothing. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. Story one. First, Salesforce will acquire Momentum, a conversational insights and revenue orchestration platform, for an undisclosed amount. Second, Podine announced that it's acquired AdAdvance for DSP and retail media expertise, as well as AdAdvance's technology suite Streamline. Third, Certivo announced that it's raised $4 million in seed funding to automate supply chain compliance. Fourth, Canada-based retailer Aritzia has acquired Fred Siegel from the Fred Siegel family for an undisclosed amount. And finally, TBG wholesale automation platform Jampack announced that it's raised $3.2 million in seed funding, which will be used to hire engineers and build CPG integrations. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter which you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com, and you can find the podcast at the same location. Subscribe to it on your podcast platform of choice.